This is Joan Weaver, and Rosetta Graff is here, and we're conducting interviews. Today we are with Maribel Carlson in her home, and it is March 16th, 2011. That's it. Okay, Maribel, what is your full name?
My full name is Mary Isabel Owen Carlson. My nickname is the contraction of Mary Isabel.
Okay, so it's Maribel.
Maribel, M-A-R-I-B-E-L.
And when and where were you born?
I was born on July 26th, 1931, in Kinsley, at the address of 315 East 6th, or 5th.
So you were born at home?
Yes.
And what were the names of your parents?
Wilhelmina, who was called Minnie, Hoosier Owen.
How do you spell Wilhelmina?
W-I-L-H-E-L-M-I-N-A. Okay. And they changed Mina and then into Minnie.
And her husband?
And her husband was another nickname. I guess everybody had Paul Doak Owen. And the Doak is D-O-A-K. But everybody called him Squirt. And many people knew no other name but Squirt. Because he was the smallest of the three Owen boys, he was not a small man. But of those three, this is why they called him Squirt. Yeah. She probably knows you. He was not the youngest. He was the middle one of the three. But he was always called Squirt because he was smaller than the other two, which were very large men. They were football players.
And what were the names of your grandparents?
And my grandparents were Barney and Mary Hoosier in Neodesha, Kansas. You want to spell Neodesha? N-E-O-D-E-S-H-A, Kansas. And that's where my mother came from. And then my father's...
What was that grandmother's maiden name?
Hoosier, H-U-S-E-R.
Let me see.
H-U-S-E-R.
Oh, Mary, that H-U-S-E-R, that's her maiden name.
And, yes.
And then are they?
No, that wasn't her maiden name.
That's Barney's
Mary,
name, isn't
yeah. Barney, her husband, Barney and Mary Hoosier.
Okay, what was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Berskens.
Oh, you better spell that one.
It's a Dutch name of B-E-U-R-S-K-E-N-S.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other
and
set?
The other set, the paternal is was Belle. She was Isabel, but they always called her Belle. Doak, D-O-A-K. Owen of Kinsley. And Jim Owen of Oklahoma, but he was already deceased by the time I was born.
Okay. And... So what brought your maybe grandparents, would it be, to Edwards County then?
Well, father's side, her family came here, the Doaks did, from Ireland. And I presume it was because of the potato famine.
So about what year?
And I don't know what year that would have been. I never did write that down. That would have been, I guess... late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
She was born, my grandmother that is, in Delaware, but I think that was just because they were passing through. Mm-hmm. And they didn't stay there, but she was born in the state of Delaware. That was Isabel, who was called Belle.
And then the other side?
And that's my dad's side, and then my mother's side. I guess I gave that to you.
Did they come to Edwards County? Was it your grandparents that came? Or
well, it was the Doaks that came to Edwards County. None of the rest of my relatives did. Okay. Mom's family didn't. This is all my father's side.
Okay.
And it's the Doaks. And they settled up north of Kinsley. I had the legal description written down here one time. And evidently, my great-grandfather, Jim Doak, bought 80 acres up there. And if you go 4 miles straight on Winchester Street, you'd be about to Doak's Grove, they used to call it. And that's what where they settled. Doak's Grove. Is it ringing a bell or something?
It rang a little chime.
A little chime. I was glad to hear that.
Okay, I should have been taking note, but the Doak's were your mother's or father's family?
My father's
okay,
family.
So your mother then came because she married your father?
Yes.
So that's how she
and
got
that's
here.
The only reason she was here. Okay. She came to Edwards County was because of she married my father. And
where'd they meet her?
Ola was out in Reno, Nevada. Or in Nevada. My mother... Well, we're not on education yet, but she took a correspondence course for secretary. Mm-hmm. And she became one of the first secretaries for the Ford Motor Company, and they were infant companies in the Odyssey. And so she built up quite a, you know, a career there, I guess you might say, for that day, for women. Mm-hmm. And so she got transferred around. So that's when she got transferred out into Colorado. And that was out in that area where my father went, you know. He was out there. I think he was working at a dairy. And that's where they met out there.
In Colorado or Nevada?
Well, in Colorado. And then I think they might have been married in Nevada. I'm not sure whether it was, you know, right out there. I think it was Colorado where they were married. And then because of his mother living here. See, my grandmother, Belle Owen, is the one that, you might say, drew them back to Kinsey all the time because she lived here. And she lived here because she grew up here as a Doak.
Okay. And did you have brothers or sisters?
Yes. I am the second child. And the first child was 2 years older than my brother, Jimmy, and I'm sure you hadn't maybe ever heard of him. Had you, Rosetta? James Paul?
I don't think so.
Okay. And he lived to be 6 years old and died Hodgkin's disease. He'd finished the first grade and was ready to start the second grade when he died. And so then I became an only child, very spoiled only child for a lot of years because my sister wasn't born for about 5.5 years after that. And so there was a long time there. I was a spoiled when they tried to make it all up to this, you know.
And what's your sister's name?
Helen Owen. Malik. M-A-H-L-I-K. And she lives in Phoenix, Arizona. They do. She and her husband.
And where did you live when you were growing up?
Where? A mile east of town in the Sand Hills. My dad bought that farm in 41. I was 10 years old. We moved out there. I was a very angry 10-year-old because I did not want to leave town.
Okay, where had you been living in town then?
Well.
Of where you were born?
That's the last place we lived. Yeah, we lived 3 places in town. It wasn't where I was born, but you know where the brokers built their house, the 2-story house over here on Wichita? Well, across the street from Molitor's.
Oh,
Jack Molitor's place, that 2-story house, that was the last house we lived here in town. And it's, you know, they remodeled it into a beautiful place now. And it was a pretty nice house then.
So you were a town kid as a small child?
As a small child,
and you
yes.
went to, where did you go to school?
Well, then I have to change
schools.
Yeah. I did have to, because anybody that was south of the tracks had to go to the south side. So I did change schools because I had been going up to Lincoln. But it wasn't called Lincoln then, it was Northside. When I was in the 4th grade, they changed that name. Because I remember they had a contest. Oh, this is going to be so wonderful. We're going to have a new name. Whoopee. Everybody put down a name you'd like to put name. And Lincoln won it. But anyway, so that's been a long time ago that they call that. But of course, I think of it as Northside. And I don't even use the word usually Lincoln. However, my children, you know, it was Lincoln to them,
yeah, Lincoln.
When they went at various times they went.
And what did your dad do when you were living in town?
Well, he ran the filling station on 1st and Niles, not 1st, 4th and Niles. They're just for the railroad track going north. 4th and Niles. And believe it or not, the building is still standing there. That brick building. All those years.
Oh, well, yeah.
Part of that.
Yeah.
Is that Cordy's?
Home Oil Station. He sold it to Cordy.
Okay.
So there you get it. Yeah. My dad sold it to Albert Cordy.
So Home Oil was built by Taylor's?
Taylor's had it before.
Before
my dad worked for Taylor's many years, and then he took it on his own, and it was his for about a year before he bought the farm.
Okay.
And then he sold it to Albert Cordy.
Mm-hmm.
So when she knows how to spell it,
that gives us a little history of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's very interesting. And Violet Cordy, do you remember her?
No.
Okay.
I just remember Mr. Cordy.
She was another one in my class. So that was funny. My dad had just sold it to her. And I was mad anyway because I didn't want to leave the neighborhood,
yeah,
and I didn't
sure.
want to leave the school, and I didn't want to go to the farm, but that wasn't the worst part of the farm. We moved out there in 41. We didn't get electricity till 48. 1 mile out because of the war. That just added to it.
That,
I was really happy then.
I would have thought your mother might have had something to say about it.
Well, what are you going to do? You take it as soon as they were able to put it in, and they were not able to do it after World
no,
War II.
No, I mean, but maybe she... Oh, because... Well, 41, we had one person say that they were going to get it, and the bride married and came to the farm, and then the war broke out.
Oh.
And then they didn't get it until way after the war, so she would have got the surprise.
Yeah, that would be mad,
too. That might have been happening.
Of course, nobody was mad as I was out there. The little kids were so little, they didn't give a dang. The little ones. But I did. I was mad, and also, that's a very stupid way to feel, but I was also angry that I had to change schools.
So when you came back, you were at Southside when you moved out.
But I'd gone to kindergarten with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said, listen, so-and-so, I'm tired of hearing about it. You're going to be with the same kids you were with in kindergarten, and you're going to be with the same kids you're going to be with next year in seventh grade. I don't want to hear another word about it. And she didn't, because that would have been trouble for me. But, oh, I was mad. And such a silly thing to be so angry over.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But because I became such good friends with Beverly, Donica, and Lassie and Ruth, I mean. But I'll tell you, and you know how it was. How that feeling was if they didn't want to go to this other school.
Well, there was rivalry.
Horrible.
I mean, it was
horrible.
It was big time.
And see, I felt like a traitor. How could I go and down to that other school?
Well,
I'd be a traitor.
What was the rivalry about? Maybe, I don't know if we've ever had this on one of our interviews.
Well, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
I heard Rosetta. It was country kids and city kids.
Well,
and
everybody south of the tracks. Well, and country kids, if you're south of the tracks. And see, the farm was open. So, there was no question that day. You did what they said to do, and they said that it would be the school you would go. And isn't that awful? And I do feel bad. Probably should shut up the car.
No, I don't know. It's over.
But, you know, I felt so badly because I felt I was leaving mine.
Mm-hmm. And it
same
was just
school. And I went to your father-in-law. Taught that year before we left.
And it was just a school rivalry?
Yeah.
What was it based on?
Well, it was based on the one side thought they were better than the other.
Which side was better?
Now that's progress, isn't it?
She's new.
I'm new.
The south side
like
was better than the north side.
Right. And yet you didn't want to go to south side.
Right. Because I felt like a traitor.
Yeah. Well,
that age, I felt
mm-hmm.
like a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so ridiculous that I just felt that way.
But if you look at Kinsley, that's where the nice houses are.
Huh.
And also, if you live north of the tracks, you went to school with Hispanics.
Right. We went with them all the time.
Side, you did not.
Well, they couldn't live Southside.
Yeah, I know.
They couldn't buy a, they could not buy a house Southside. Now talk about fair.
Yeah.
Talk about fair, Rosette.
Yeah.
They had those shacks to live in. They better live in them. You know, they couldn't get out of them. You know, and you know, I think now how they, you know, on the language deal, and they do this for all of them. Heavens up there. When they got old enough to go to school, they learned English. No, nobody worried about them before then. The little kids got, you know, mm-hmm. that was it. And before that, they spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, well, there was quite a few of them in that day. That, I'll take that back. There was quite a few because there was like three pretty good-sized buildings down there that had people lived, all the people, even their section. And their, what they call the section boss, who was mm-hmm. the head of it all, lived there. He could not get anywhere else. Such a problem. Now, I wasn't even going to bring all this up.
Well, no, this is good. And this is his, it's part of kids, it's part of Kinsley's history. And, mm-hmm. and it's good to,
it's bad.
To have it.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it was bad. It wasn't fair in any way.
And we can see how far how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is.
Well, getting back on the schools before I forget, my mother told me, and I didn't want to remember or anything. See, my brother that died, he went to kindergarten also. Clearer back then. He was 2 years ahead of me. Mother always said, you know, when Jimmy went, we had to pay for him. When you went, we didn't. During that time, was that changed?
No. Was for public kindergarten.
For public kindergarten. So we have had public kindergarten. And I don't know how much longer. I know Ted Taylor went, and he's like 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
So we were trying to decide when it all started in Kinsley out of curiosity.
No, yeah, that'd be fun.
Just curiosity.
We might be able to find that in the papers. Was the private kindergarten that your brother went to, was that still in the school, or was it in the church, or,
I,
you know?
I think it was in the school, but you know, since I was
only
four when he died, I don't... Right. But I think it was in the... I think, yeah. I think Mom said that, you know, it was the same place, same everything. But she said, oh, we were so glad because we... During that time, we didn't have to pay for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, from then on, they didn't have to pay. But they paid for Jimmy. Because, see, my grandmother, the dope that was raised here, she was a school teacher. And I suppose she said, Jimmy's going to go to kindergarten.
What I so education was important.
Very important to her. Yeah, very important to her.
And to your parents, too?
Yes. Especially my wife.
Because she was been educated.
Well, she did, you know, she did it by correspondence. Right. And got this job with Ford Motor Company, and it was a little bit unusual for women in those days. And she was very, you know, thankful she had money when no one else did. But it was just during such those short years, you know. And, you know.
Do let's see, just before we completely leave the city life, that was during the 30s. Do you remember the dirty 30s at all, or?
Well, I remember being here in town. Of course, I was before I was 10.
Right.
Turning dark. Oh, boy. That was frightening mm-hmm. for a little child.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the day, and it was dark.
And your father, I guess what you've said, was employed. So do you remember the depression years and
we
being
were very fortunate because... My dad had a job all through the Depression, and we were very fortunate because of that. He got this whole $80 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I know because when I asked him what I was making, he said, what does she do with that money? It's one of the few things I remember my dad said, what does she do with all that money? I raised a family on $80. Who will?
And then you went to the country, and now you were farmers?
Yeah, but it's not crop farm.
Okay.
That's all sand hills, pasture, grassland, cattle. And that's what my dad did. He had the cattle and the pasture. And the crops wouldn't have been grown there at all.
So you probably did not
get right by the. It was right by the river.
Okay.
You know the house. Well, Tommy owns it now. Tommy owns a lot of things. My son Tom, and including that place.
It's right by the Arkansas going
the river.
East
was right next to the river. The river was right next to the house. And the one thing that we were told when we moved out there, we will never, kids stay out of that river, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
my mother would have been worse on me than drowning out of it.
What was the river like then?
It was like 4 or 5 feet. rushing water. Believe it or not, then. When we cried, well, see, I was never supposed to have done that because I was never in it, but I mean, I remember some of the other kids crossed it, and it was about 4 feet at that time. Well, they're always afraid of quicksand because they thought, you know, you're going to go that way, and my parents were really. And so we stayed out of that river. And of course, the other two knew how to swim. I never knew how to swim. My sister and brother learned how and did real well on that. But I never did. They didn't have the Red Cross swimming lessons. They had no swimming lessons. The only way you would have gotten swimming lessons during the war would have been private lessons, which we couldn't afford. So I never learned how. And then when the Red Cross lessons came along, that's Helen Bird, my brother and sister, you know, they took that and did real well with it.
So if your father was mainly a rancher, did you have farm chores? Did you have chickens and gardens and all that?
We milked one cow because he still remembered working in a dairy, and he said he'd never have over two with the that was tops. We would never have more than two cows.
Because did you milk cows or did you do that?
Well, Mom did. Yeah, Mom did. And then I would go down and get them out of that grove, which is now that sand pit. Mm-hmm. See, that wasn't dug until after my dad died. In 52, he died, and Daddy had already made arrangements with John Mix, does that ring a bell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To go in and dig this sand pit. And John Mix was an old bachelor that didn't like women at all. And when Daddy died, he thought, he didn't want to deal with my mother, which he had to then. Mm-hmm. But they went ahead and dug it. Mix went ahead and dug the pit. And then she owned it for many years. Well, Tommy owns it now. And my family enjoys it very much because they go out there and they have their, you know, they even boat, believe it or not, on it. And they fish and then they hunt in the area. And so they enjoy it very much because they can have their playouts out there now. But John Mix finally decided, well, he could deal with mother, but boy, he didn't like to deal with women, and so they went ahead and finished the plans to dig it, and that's when it was dug, in 52. And of course, it served as a sand pit for many, many years. Right. It was Rex Strait, mother had Rex Strait leased it from mother for many years, and so they had it out there, and they had a very prosperous business school. After Mom died, and then Rex bought the other one north of there, and then that he has now. Mm-hmm. Registry. That's kind of the history of that sand pit. But,
we didn't know that either.
that's why we're doing this.
Well, see, it jogs
things. It jogs memories. Yeah.
And then you think about things, and you think, well, you know, maybe they want to know about that. Maybe they know.
Well, I'm saying I know nothing, so I'm
people think that sand pit's always been there. No, it has.
Nature put it there.
In fact, if my mother had, you know, kind of talked to John, you can deal with a woman. I don't think we're going to have any problems. Well, finally, he decided, so they went ahead and they did it. Yeah. So, and it was a very profitable thing for my mother.
Oh, yeah.
So, because they sold all that. Sand, you know,
and they were building roads
and they were building things out, yeah,
and needed,
and and she and Rex Strait then made a good profitable business.
And what year was this that your father died?
He died in 52.
'52.
They dug it soon after that. Well, he'd already said it. He and John Mix had already, you know, made their plans and everything. So John thought he was fine, and then Daddy died very suddenly. Daddy died
heart attack.
When he was 49 years old.
He was a young man. That's what I was just trying to figure.
Yeah, he died. If he'd lived another month, he'd have been 50. So it was a big surprise because in those days nobody doctored and you didn't even know he had a problem. But in his family, it was very prevalent. That's the way they all went.
And you had I'm trying to remember now. You had a little sister, right?
A little sister and a little brother.
And she was both, and so they were still at home. When he died.
Oh, yeah. She was 15, and my little brother was 12.
Mm-hmm.
pretty young when I was 20. Mm-hmm. But I was in Wichita when he died.
Yeah, you were on your own by that time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. What else do we want to know? So then you came into school here and went to school in Kinsley. And what was Kinsley like during my 40s and
it was,
near 50s?
It quite was different. I mean, population, that's the thing. There was so many more people. You know, you just, Saturday night, you looked all over for a parking place downtown and I'm so happy if you found one. Which is so ridiculous now. I mean,
park a semi.
And I would have ever thought that it'd never be that way, but you know, that's the way it was. And of course, you don't remember because you're too young, but standing in long, long lines to get into the movies. But the movies have been here a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. And did you regularly go to the movies? Was
well,
that part of your.
When the kids were, when my siblings were young and just babies, I guess you might say. My mother would stay home and take care of them, and my dad and I would go to the movies. And I got to go with my dad to the movies.
Ooh.
Saturday night. And then he'd go to sleep. Because he got, you know, there was the only place there was air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And so you go in there and you sit down. And of course, he was tired. He worked hard. It wouldn't be long, my dad would be asleep.
You get up early in the morning when you're. And now air conditioning, that was the swap cooler or the water evaporative that
right.
we still use today.
Yes, the same thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a bad thing. It's a, well, maybe it's a good thing that it's worked that well that long. I don't know if it works or not.
Well, I think it's a lot cheaper than air conditioning.
I'm afraid I don't get to the movies very often, and I don't know why it is. I guess I stay home more anymore, and I just, you know, don't even think about going to it, to the movies. I'm so glad we still have one. But it's a miracle we've got it, isn't it?
I think so. The E-team does an excellent job.
Yeah.
They work very, very hard.
They have to keep that going.
And what else did you do for entertainment?
Skating.
Roller skating?
Roller skating. My first date was roller skating. We won't go into all this.
Well, how old were you on your first date?
15, I think. Yeah. Yeah, then... I went to work at Cobb Pharmacy. That'd be Virginia Gleason's parents run that.
And were you like 16 or?
Yeah, I was 16. Well, no, I was 15. When I went to work there. Yeah.
And what did you do?
Well, I worked behind the soda fountain because they had a complete soda fountain.
Oh, tell us about an old-fashioned soda fountain. Nobody's done that on a tape, have they?
Oh, they have. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. It really was. That's where they'd congregate. And everybody that worked there liked working there because the kids would all come in, you know, as soon as school was out or anything else, they'd all be there and there'd be where the action was because in this town it was kind of dull. But, and there was two drugstores. There was the other one across the street, Hammond Pool, which is just about where Ryan's Appliance are, isn't it?
It's
about where, well, you don't know that. That's where the other drugstore was.
Yeah, it was. It's not quite where Ryan's is. It's Young's is part of it now.
Yeah, that's right. Young's is part of it. And the cop drugstore where I worked was, the office supply, the old Kinsley office supply, was that building.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked every summer.
Did the kids?
And after school.
Did certain kids go one place and certain kids go another? And how did that divide up?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
maybe
I
it was
thought
kind of
that,
way.
You know, that certain kids went to one and certain kids went to the other. But I don't know the dividing line. It was probably every class was different.
Just a click that
a click that wanted to work at another place. And then there was where you know where Dottie's shop is.
Mm-hmm.
That was a confectionery, and they had music in there and they danced in there and they had a pretty good time there. I mean, it wasn't the third drugstore, wasn't a drugstore, but it was a confectionery, they called it, where, you know, it just really...
What did you serve on the soda fountain?
The soda fountain, Sundays, and all the different...
What's a phosphate?
Root beer float.
A phosphate?
Phosphate is where you put, carbonated water with various, flavorings and ice, and that, and you know. No, I'll tell you, we'd be busy. We were so busy. We were supposed to close at 11, and sometimes we didn't get out of there till after 12. Just, you know, people already left because they used it for socializing and everything else. The other things we did was dancing. They always had dances in those days.
And where were the dances held?
Well, down the thing they call the pink building. Sometimes they call it the brown building. What do they call it?
Pink building. And
stuff. At the pink building would be where the dances would be.
Was that live music? And
yes. Mm-hmm. Usually it would be local, even like the Rizzo's family. You know, they did a lot of the playing. And Fritz Rizzo, and then Edna Taylor's family, that she was a Rizzo. She could play that piano like crazy. I mean, they just, that was where the music, they didn't get an outside deal. Now, when I was in high school, they started kind of getting what we call foreigners coming in. You know, we had a Larned band come and play for high school events. But a lot of those old days was just whoever wanted to play. Pete Rizzo loved to play.
And what was the band made up of? What instruments?
Well, it would be the piano and the banjo. And what did Pete? He played the violin. Yeah. And believe it or not, even my Uncle Bill played the violin.
He did.
I didn't know that. I read some stories about him that even like written in the New York papers. And he was quite a violinist. I did know that. Of course, he loved to dance. He was a real heavy man, but he loved to dance. And my Uncle Bill did. Now, not the other one. Yeah. So he enjoyed Kinsley. Of course, he's the old one that came back here. They lived here. Now, my Uncle Steve never lived here. But, of course, he came here many times to visit his mother.
But was there brass in the band, or drums?
Oh, yeah. There was a trumpet and trombone and a few more. Yeah, I guess that would be...
Well, now, you're the first person that's really mentioned that. Now, we had somebody else talk about, though, having parties at the river. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid out there, you know, like, first... I could sit on my porch and see over onto the bridge. And here come these old high school kids, you know, out there, and they'd be on the bridge in their cars, and they'd turn the radio up real high, and then they'd dance on the bridge.
Oh.
And I'd sit over there watching them and think, gosh, I wish I could be over there. I wish I was old enough to go over there. No, but... And I was told to stay away from there also. Those were high school kids.
Must not have been much traffic at that day.
Well, they watched it. You know, it was a time, it wasn't a busy time, so I suppose that was late at night. Well, later at night or on Sundays. I don't remember all that deal or why I was still up. And I was on that little front porch that we had and watching them. And that's where they got the music and the... And I suppose they got away from their parents was probably what they wanted to do. It was the reason they were out the river. And it was only a mile out, and a lot of people, you know, would take the little drive to cool off in the evening, and they'd take this mile drive out to our place. Like Mother said, and drop off a cat or two.
And the river would be a cooler place. You had trees, and you had the coolness of the water.
Well, yeah. A lot of people would fish in those days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they would be out there fishing anyway.
Fishing.
Because they're... That is a shame. I mean, that river used to have water. It sure doesn't anymore. Mm. And it did. Of course, that's underflow that's mainly in that sand pit over there, too. I mean, it's too bad. But all I know, Vada Cordy and I walked across that river. And we weren't supposed to have. We were both so curious to see if we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, kids.
Well, do you remember the beginning of World War II or anything about World War II?
The thing about World War II was I just remember being very, very scared that we might not win it. Because you had all the propaganda at the movie houses, and it was propaganda, but it was true. You know, a lot of it was true. I mean, they were there to make sure that you felt that way about it. And as a child, I just remember being very, very worried if we didn't win it, what's going to become of us? What are they going to do to us?
We've had other people tell us that.
And they
did.
They had that feeling, and you didn't express it, which was bad. But after all, people were doing out without things, but they were doing without things that were just things. I suppose the kids didn't mean that much. The sugar, the gas. You couldn't drive over 35 miles an hour. That was against the law, because that just saved it. Yes. Well, nobody really wanted to anyway, I don't think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of them, the tires weren't good anyway.
The tires, right. The rubber, everything was in bad shape anyway. And the rationing. I mean, rationing never bothered, I think, this area so much, because they all had their own food anyway. And I don't ever remember being hungry.
And you had a vegetable garden or whatever?
No. My mother said she was not going to do that. Okay. There was no vegetable garden. Well, for one thing, the water system was pretty bad out there. I mean, and then all you had was sand. They tried potatoes once, and my dad wasn't too much for that either. And mother said she'd been in enough gardens growing up and that she didn't have to any more of them. But she loved chickens, and she had chickens everywhere.
So was that part of your chores, to take care of the chickens and clean the chicken
eggs
house?
Yeah, clean everything, chicken and so forth. And I didn't like those chickens.
Did she?
I never did like them.
Did she sell the eggs then?
Yeah.
It was not just for your family.
No. In fact, she would sell them in town. Al Null, you remember Lorenza? Lorenza's mother, her dad?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he had a nice guy. He was a nice guy. He had a produce house, and she sold her eggs to him. And then they would get, when they get baby chickens, sometimes they would get them in, believe it or not, on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in to the post office, having been, you could hear the little peeping, all the little peeping in the post office. The baby chicks were coming in, and then mother would have another shot of chickens.
Did she incubate them in the, or not incubate, but when they were little,
put them in the brooder house.
Yeah. We had a brooder house.
So we had a brooder house till kid murdered down. It wasn't me. It was one of her renters. In fact, it wasn't our family. It was
somebody else.
But the brooder house was gone. So, but the cement was left there.
About how many chickens? Do you have any idea how many she'd have at a time?
200 or
not. Really? That's a lot.
And they'd be on the road and then they'd get killed.
They were free range.
Yes. Yeah, with the fence out there was to keep the chickens out of there. They had everything else. The chickens could range everywhere else. The fence that we had put up around that house, that old house, was really just to keep them out over the sidewalks and so forth. Because they were always messed up then.
Were coyotes a problem with the chickens?
Oh, yeah. They'd be on. Of course, she had a huge chicken house.
Would they go in at night?
And they were in there, yeah. And that's one thing I guess you didn't, I remember. Because I didn't like them in the first place, but there they were, and they were too dumb to go into their building at night, and I had to see that they did.
Why?
Because they're too dumb. They're going to die otherwise.
So would you chase them in, feed them in the building?
She'd feed them. That's the only way you can handle chickens, I do believe. If you wanted to kill them, she had to take them and go out in the yard and strut the feed around like that's what you get a whole bunch of them. They come up there, feed. And then she'd just go grab them as soon as they come up to eat. That's the way she caught them.
Did you ever have to clean the chickens?
Oh, brother, yes. Sure did. Day and night, it seemed like. Well, it wasn't really, but I'd chain a lot of chickens, yeah. Yeah, and then she sold the milk. They would, they would have a little separator on that porch, and there was a lot of people that would drive out from Kinsley, because it was only a mile, to get cream, mm-hmm, and the milk and the chickens.
And she sold the eggs. The butchered chickens, did she sell them, or is that mainly
for you? I don't remember her doing that very much, because people usually driving out, they were coming out there for cream or eggs, because I imagine, most of the people were butchering their own that had, mm-hmm. had any around. And in those days, you could have them. I guess you can still have them in Gisela, can't you?
Some people can.
Some people can. Now, that's probably putting it the right way. And others not.
No chickens.
Well, I won't be one of them that'll be having any, I can assure you. Or my sister. She's had enough chickens right up here. I said, yeah, but boy, they made the money. I mean, Mom knew how to work that.
And she worked hard.
And she knew how to do so many things my mother did. She really...
Did she sew for your clothes?
Yes. Every stitch. Coats included. Helen said to me one time, she said, you think we'll ever be able to get a bottom? And then she said later, in these later years, she said, how pleased were you when you finally got to buy something out of the store? And I said, I was very pleased, but I was in Wichita, Kansas before that happened. Because Mother made every stitch. You know, Eller's department store sold the goods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a good seamstress. And she and Earl were good friends. And he said, you made that out of that material. Can I put it in the window? Pretty soon there was her little creation in the window, you know. So she was very proud of that, and I remember that too. And then, of course, that was a big business there too. Mm-hmm. And that department store had everything and a whole lot of stuff. Well, he said, "I want it. Very proud of that. Just put them, let's close in the window."
Well, that helps sell the material.
Yeah. Help sell material and everything else, the thread, mm-hmm. everything they were buying from in there. Well, it's so sad in that building now, the way it's gone to pot. And I, you know, I work there once in a while. I volunteer for Twice as Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bad shape. The heating system.
Oh, were you too old to have the flour sacks and wheat sacks that your clothing made out of that?
And yes. And some of them look pretty good.
Oh, well, maybe I should have
two that did. Yeah. Oh, yes. I was looking at, I gave you a picture there that I think I might even be in a flour sack. What about the dress?
No, we'll have to identify.
The dress might be. I'm about 13 there. I'm about that age, and I thought then, well, maybe that was one of them. Because I will say this, they didn't look that way because they deliberately, I guess, you know, in the factory, they made the sacks, made them really, you know, pretty. Mm-hmm. They really were pretty.
Well, that helped sell them.
Yeah, and then my sisters were all too, because Mother didn't believe in buying anything. She didn't have to
buy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you graduated in 1949, and how big was your class?
37. I think there's about 17 of them.
About how many in your class stayed in Edwards County?
Well, that's what I was thinking. There was about 17 that did.
Oh, that stayed here.
Well, yeah.
In one
there's quite a few, yeah.
So it'd be about half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you went off to Wichita.
Yeah.
And tell us about going to Wichita, the big city, and going to college. How did you get there?
Well, when I first saw that escalator, I thought, gee whiz, nobody told me about that.
Did
I didn't know it would be. It was in Macy's department store there, you know, would be.
Did you ride the train to Wichita to go to college?
Or
did you drive, someone drive you? Or?
Well, I took the bus.
You took a bus.
Greyhound bus.
Okay, Greyhound bus.
Every time.
Back and
that I didn't have a ride, which I did often. There'd be a ride, there'd be somebody from around here going there or back and forth, and so. But otherwise, I'd take the bus, and you couldn't get there from, you know, Wichita couldn't get you to Kinsley very easily. So lots of times you were in Greensburg, and they would pick you up in Greensburg because
followed Highway 54.
Tour, yeah, didn't, or bus didn't go. That way.
Okay, what college? What's the name of the college?
It was American Business College, but they're out of business.
Mm-hmm. Where was it located?
Well, you remember the beyond Douglas and St. Francis were the streets. And it was a real fancy old hotel that they just remodeled. It had all those marble floors.
Is that the one that we used to be across from the Hyatt? Am I not far enough off?
No, this has got to be downtown, in the old town, in the old park area. Their own names are coming. Lassen is not it. hotel, whatever it was. Anyway, it was a huge place and fancy, and it had a mezzanine so big and a marble floor. Our whole college was on that mezzanine. Believe it or not.
And where did you live?
Well, I lived in Esther Hall. It's a dormitory, girls' dormitory, but run by the Methodist Church.
Okay. And was that right there by it somewhere?
It was about 10 blocks south on Broadway. But I walked everywhere anyway. In those days, everybody, a lot of us did. And so I walked it. And a lot of the girls that lived there went to school, with beauty school or to the business college. And
what was dormitory life like for a girl then?
Oh.
Did you have hours or curfews? Or
yeah.
Did you eat there? That you avoided?
No, you couldn't eat there.
Oh, you couldn't eat
there? Well, you could. In the basement, there was a kitchen if you wanted to have stuff there. And people had snacks, and then some of us, I guess, there was about 32 there, and there were three floors plus the basement, and some of the floors, there was like two or three in, and the room that I was in, there was the three of us for many years. Many years. It seems like in many years, it was only 1 year. Because then three friends and I got together and we rented a house in Wichita. And we thought, well, this is quite a deal. Each one of us took a room. Mm-hmm. I took a bedroom, so I bought a bedroom set. And each one bought, for whatever that was. And two of them were sisters. And then the other, we were all friends. And that worked out real well. Because, it wasn't a housing shortage, but they weren't available. If we hadn't had this one friend that had been working for this lawyer that, there was his estate and there was this house, we probably wouldn't have gotten it. And that was out in the eastern part of Wichita. In fact, it was the better part, which that was accidental, but I wouldn't have gotten a good part. Because my roommate used to say, tell them what your address is. And I thought, I don't have to tell them, impress them. I don't even remember what it was anymore.
How did you get back and forth then?
On the bus.
The city bus. Right.
The city bus. When we got too far, out there, that was the city buses. And they were good. Because, they just had the business, so they just really, picked the people up and took you wherever you needed to go.
And how did you pay for college?
Well, college, my folks paid for that. That was $25 a month.
Not for 9 months or?
1 month. Yeah.
No, but I mean, was the school year 9 months or did you stay year round? Or?
Well, I stayed there a year.
Okay, so.
If I hadn't had any.
So you're talking $400 for the year. It was $300.
Well.
$300.
It was $25, for a year, You could figure that, whatever that was. And then, the dormitory was really cheap. It was $3 a week if you weren't working. But if you were working and you were making money, it'd be $4 a week.
And then you would eat, and that year you ate in restaurants or whatever.
Restaurants and then, we did. We just went various places.
And what was the classwork like? What kind of courses did you take?
Well, it was, I had to start scratch from shorthand, I think it was. Because for some reason or other, they hadn't had it. Of course, the war interfered there, too, getting a certain teacher to teach what. And I think I had the typing, shorthand, bookkeeping. Those would be the main things. And there were so many men. I mean, it's practically all men. Because they'd come back from the service. And they were in there getting their education. Getting their start in life. And they were, older, and a lot of them were married and had their families and so forth, and they were there for business. Believe me, nothing else. So that was the way it should be, But I can't think of that darn. It was a real fancy old hotel, but I can't think of it anymore.
And you were there 3 years?
Well, I Yeah, I was there 3 years. I went to college for a year and then...
Okay.
My first job, see, the college placed you, and they placed me with Equitable of Iowa Insurance Company. And since it was my first job, I stayed that while. I stayed 6 months, but I didn't like it at all. And during that time, there was one of the salesmen that was working for Equitable of Iowa that was a JC. He said, "We're going to have this opening in the office," he said, "and this girl's leaving and so forth and so forth. Why don't you see?" He said, "But don't you dare tell, you know, the big boss." And I said, "Don't you worry, I won't." So I applied and got that. And then I switched to Wichita Junior Chamber of Commerce then, till I got married. I probably would have stayed on longer because they, in fact, they said, there was 400 of them there I was working, they said, "Can't you commute?" And I said, "Are you crazy?" Or can't sleep in Wichita. They said, "Well, why can't you commute?" And of course they were kidding. And then they said, and also we're going to come to the wedding and we're going to all 400 stand up and say we object and say, "That's going to embarrass you." And I said, "Yes, it will." And you stay away. But they were good to work for.
Like it was a fun place.
It was a fun place. So much more fun than the insurance. Because the JCs had projects, and on these projects they wanted to make money, so they get these had a call. You remember had a call? Ever hearing of had a call?
No, I haven't, but I'm not from here, so.
Yeah, had a call. Yeah.
They put on these shows, and then there was other big companies put on these shows to get these celebrities to go to Wichita, and you know, then they'll go to their whatever they have, a rodeo or whatever they have to make money. So I was really lucked out there. I got to meet a lot of those celebrities.
For some of the celebrities.
Oh, Smitty Burnett, Dick Hames. Oh, then what, there was another guy.
Now you're going to have to clue me in. I don't recognize.
But you probably
Dick,
don't.
Dick Hames.
He was a singer.
Singer. Okay.
And Jack Dempsey. Met him. Is there a bunch of?
Funny, was he a motivational speaker, maybe? Was that what Jack did?
No, he was just there to help sell their show
so the
public would come to see, you know, Jack Dempsey. And and they always had these luncheons where they did their business, you know, and then they'd have a board meeting maybe once a month, and I'd go to that, and that'd be a night time. But all the rest of it, I'd be up there. But I liked about it, they let me just run the office.
Mm-hmm.
I was in with the senior chamber. But we were separated, and there was about 13 girls working in there. But I was the only one working for the JCs, because, you know, they were the poor relation. They were. But, you know, it was so much fun because, heavens, who wouldn't want to work for 400 men that were young, good-looking, and they were from the ages from 21 to 35, and after 35, they had to get out of there and go into the exhausted roosters. So, I mean, it was a dream job. Sometimes I wonder about it, but yeah, I had a lot of fun there. And their dances were great. You could go there and really, we could dance all evening with a bunch of them. And they were really, and well, that's what the rules were, you know. They had to get out of there when they were 35.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were
in the regular chamber of commerce at that point.
Yeah. And it was fun because, well, like I said, they just were there to have fun in lots of ways. Mm-hmm. I put out a little newspaper for them, and I enjoyed that because I like little newspapers. I like newspaper things. It would have been a good thing to go into. And so I got to write that, and then, you know, different ones of them would write for it. So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
JCs were very interesting people, really. I was kind of disappointed they didn't come to my wedding.
Okay, well, it was a wedding. You're marrying a guy back home, even though you have 400.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Well, and he is quite a bit, he's 8 years, was it? Younger than, or
older
than you. And so how did this romance blossom? And
well, see, I knew him before when I was working in COPS.
Mm-hmm. But he would have been a lot older.
Right, but see, he came back from the war, came into COPS.
So you knew him when you went off to college?
Yeah, I'd gone with him when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And then long interim, you know, well, it seemed like a long time there.
Yeah, it would have been.
It wouldn't
have
been so long now, but, you know. And he came back through Wichita one time for Farlow. Ed Farlow, mm-hmm. driving these trucks through there for him and stopped by. That was that. Yeah, I'll go back home. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Wichita, though. And I know it isn't the same as it was when I lived there, but because of that.
Okay, you mentioned that he was in the service. He was in the Army. Can you just tell us a little bit what he did?
Well,
this is before, while you knew him, but did you correspond with him while he was in the service?
No, I didn't. No. I was corresponding with
another one.
A Marine. It wasn't him.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah.
All those war years.
Those were good years. Oh, they were good. He was. Yeah, and this guy was really nice. The Marine was really nice. But there, you know, I got to know a lot of Wichita people. No, I didn't correspond with him when he was there.
But you said he was a teacher.
Well, we did
instructor.
Henry Little thinks we did. See how young we were for that war. But everybody was trying to save, you know, save the country and work in the war and do this and all this war effort and everything. And here we were just as little kids, like 12, 13, 14. And Bev and I pulled a
resolution.
Yeah. The only time I think she ever did
this is
deception. Bev and Trent.
That's what I figured. But yeah. I thought we got to get that out of the case.
Maybe we better not.
What did you enjoy?
Probably the only deceitful thing she ever did in her life. But we acted like, I'll get back, we acted like we were writing to these servicemen.
Oh.
She thinks our friends should have known better. We didn't know what servicemen be writing to these so-and-sos. But then...
Oh, you weren't actually writing. You just said you were?
Oh.
Well, see, B. Coates was.
Well, yeah, B. Coates was a little bit ahead of me. Yeah,
but she lied about her age to the serviceman.
No, we didn't actually, but we told somebody that we were doing that, and she believed. She's still around. I think I should shut up right now.
Oh, that's all right.
This person's still
around. She's a good story.
But Bev, really, that's the only bad thing I ever knew that Bev ever did in her lifetime.
Well,
now she don't really remember it. She acts like she don't remember, but she did, because her dad was working down at the Pratt plant, you know, and so we would have him mail it away from Kinsley. Jeez. Oh, brother. Mm. So we convinced some people we were going, but we never actually went with the service. Not when we were that young.
No. But what was your husband doing down in Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he was actually training these people, I guess. And he felt so badly, you know, later, because he said practically every one of them was killed. But there were so many that was killed. I mean, it wasn't like it was anything. But he said that death rate was so high that he said, I don't think there's a single one that I trained with that's still around.
And he was Army and... And what was he, you know, what he was training him to do, what
well,
his expertise
well
was?
Well, it was, you know, it was, I suppose, the, I presume, you know, the...
Just infantry.
With the rifles and mm-hmm. so forth, and training of what they were to do when they get over there. But there were so many of them slaughtered that, well, I don't know. Probably said a little too much over it.
Well, no. So he came back and found you in Wichita.
Yeah. Well, lucky guy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And you came back here to get married. What was your wedding like?
Oh, it was great. It was, they said it was one of the hottest days that there was, that August the 16th of 52, but I never even remembered it being that. And no air conditioning, you know, anywhere.
And the candles didn't melt?
No air conditioning anywhere. Yeah, the candles probably did. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But they had that cottage next door, mm-hmm. remember, and that's where the reception was. That's what this
next
picture
next door
is.
To the Methodist was
mm-hmm.
the church?
Mm-hmm. The old Methodist church was, and that is now a building. Maybe you know whose home it is. It's up on 4th Street that has been moved up there now.
I should know that. I can't remember that.
That same building is used for that now.
She'll find it by the time we do the transcription.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that ties into Edwards County. Yeah.
And so was it an evening wedding or afternoon?
It was noon.
Noon.
Yeah, and then we left right away to go to Kansas City, and we met. We were gone 9 days, and that was one of the first real trips I'd ever been on.
Was it by car?
Yes, mm-hmm. We drove. But we drove to somewhere in Wisconsin where my Uncle Steve had his football team in training. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got to talk about that yet.
And we were there at the what they call training camp. Mm-hmm. So we got to go in there, and they said, stay for the meal, so we stayed. We ate there and everything with my uncle and his team.
Okay, well, we better clear up who your uncle is and why what we're talking about.
Okay, Steve Owen was my dad's brother, and he became the head coach of the New York Giants in 1931 on a handshake. That was the contract. Those days were really different than nowadays. Yeah, and they said they bought him for $500. They said, oh. And my dad said, I thought you were worth a little bit more than that. But $500, that's, you know, is what we bought.
And he had graduated from Kinsley and played for...
No. He had never...
That's right, I'm correct.
No, Steve and Bill hadn't, either one. Or my dad hadn't. See, my dad came back here later when my grandmother came back here.
But they played professional football.
My dad never did, no.
But Steve did?
Yes, and Bill did.
And
Bill
played
for Steve for about a few years.
Okay, Steve played for whom?
Well, Steve played for the Kansas City Cowboys when he started before 31. And then, that's it, he was bought from the Kansas City Cowboys for $500, I think, by the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played for them several years. I think he was a tackle. I don't know much about football, really. One end to the other. I know nothing hardly about it. My brother could tell you things about it, but I can't.
And then he became a coach.
Yeah.
And then you...
He became coach in 31. And he was there 23 years.
And then he had his little brother playing for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill played for him. And, Steve lived in Oneida, New York, in these later years, and that's where he died.
We have a file on them at the library. That
yeah, that's what Beth said.
A couple of years ago, we had someone interested in it and gave us a lot of information.
Yeah. Well, see, Bill lived here with his mother lots of time. Lots of the time that they were single men, lots of time. Bill was older when he got married, and he married Frances' mother, Marie, Frances Esslinger.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, what's going
on? Okay, yes, of course I knew that.
Bill didn't have any children of his own, but he thought the world and all of Frances, and Frances was just like his daughter to him, that she was his stepdaughter. So that's how that family goes on down and gets connected. And he did get connected that way because his wife had a daughter, and it was an only child, so he gets stepdaughter. She was from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, that is an unusual honeymoon, I think, to go to...
Oh, it was.
Training camp.
Yeah, and suddenly, I was at that training camp, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, so forth. And they took a few pictures and went on. And I was so glad that happened because I didn't get to see my uncle very often. And, you know, they did, oh, come on in and eat with us. And I remember eating with them. Of course, nowadays it's in the Lechon planet near him, I suppose. But, and then watched them play. But, you know, we got gas at a place before we found this one. We were looking for the training camp, you know, precinct. Dean stopped at this one place, and this one guy got so excited. I was waiting on him, put the gas in, and he said, do you play for the New York Giants? Because Dean was so big, he looked like he might have. He's so tall. Dean said, no, I'm afraid not. just looking for them.
Just my wife's relatives.
Yeah, that's right. Well, of course, we're all real proud of Steve. I mean,
right.
Who would have ever thought? And Bill, too. Bill did coaching. I mean, he coached the Jersey City Giants later. I guess Jersey City there.
I think the person in the library had football cards. Mm-hmm. On that, and so we have pictures from
my nephew's
trading cards.
Gotten those trading cards. My nephew's gotten this, whatever's on the internet.
Okay.
I don't know. When sports comes to that, I don't know one end from the other. I really know.
I guess I should have asked you, Dean was doing what when you married him? And
well, he was farming, because that's what he wanted to do, and that is why he came back to Edwards County, was because he wanted to farm, and he got to do what he wanted to do. So I was always happy about that. He got to do what he wanted to do.
And what was the definition of farming for him?
Well, it was up north. It was cropland. It was wheat farm.
So it wasn't wheat or cattle?
No, it was the wheat farm up north in the Carlson.
And dry land?
Yes.
At that time?
Yeah. Well, all of it, because there's no water up there. Believe me, there's no water up there. Try to live up there.
Good thing you lived out in the Sandhills for a while, so you were...
I got used to that. I got used to not having water.
But you didn't have electricity for
that
long.
The thing was, all these geniuses from Greensburg kept saying, oh, yeah, we'll have a well for you. We'll have it for you next week. Come in, they sit down. They always ate with us. We had it. It was like we got an additional family, you know. It seemed like it was years. Of course it wasn't. It was months. Well, they were surprised. They couldn't drill the water out. They couldn't get any water. And, lady, I'm going to get you that water. The lady never did see that water. We drilled two or three wells. We went 200 feet. And there was water. And it was there for a while. But now Tom's barely got enough. You know, he's got enough to water his cattle. But as far as putting a house there... And he had a trailer house there, you know, but it's just completely wrecked. Mm-hmm. It is a complete mess. He lived in it for quite a few years, but you knew he bought a house here in town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So where did you live then? Did you live up there, or did you...
Yeah, we lived up there. There was a house up there then they took down.
And there was a
house there.
Somewhat of a well then.
Yeah, there was a well.
And you had electricity.
They had better water. Yeah, they'd had electricity for several years before we got it. All those miles out, and that's 1 mile out. Mm-hmm. See, that's what didn't make sense.
Well, I think what happened is the war...
To me.
So the war happened, and then they couldn't get the copper.
Well, you know, or they lucked out or something up there, because I know what these are. Heck, we've had that probably years before you guys did.
It's probably a different rural electric company, too.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't understand why that happened that way. But...
I guess we didn't ask you. Did you have a phone when you were at Lewis? Not Lewis, the one you went 1 mile out?
Yeah.
You had the party line. Before electricity, or did it have to?
Oh, yeah, we had the party line when we first moved out there. Yeah.
So you always had the phone.
Yeah, and everybody was like, that's gonna have to find out the news again. But we had party line up north, too, in the Carlson thing.
How about television?
And boy, I'll tell you, they listened in up there.
Yeah. How about television? When was your first TV?
Well, you know, I just hardly remember getting one of our own in the late 50s. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like a lot of people had before we did. But I remember the first time
you
I
were
saw
married,
it was out
you
of
were
Birchers, Junior Birchers.
Mm-hmm.
First time I saw television was out there.
About how old were you then?
Well, I was married and come back here.
Now, you didn't see it in Wichita?
No. And you know, I don't understand why I didn't see it in Wichita.
Because Wichita certainly would have had it early.
You know, I thought of that.
To do.
Yes, 400.
They didn't pay attention to that.
You're
oh, you got too. TV? Well, isn't that something? I'd have thought my cousin that lived there, you know, I'd go down there and once in a while she'd invite me on supper. So. But they didn't have it. Nobody had it.
Well, see, my folks never got TV, and I graduated in 1960. They got it after I graduated. I never grew up with TV.
Oh, so you didn't either?
No.
I figured you probably did.
No, we never had TV until I left, you know, and then the parents got it. I guess it was kind
of see, that, this Wichita thing, just like she said, I've often thought of that. I thought, that's the strangest darn thing. They would have had it, but they didn't have it.
Well,
not the places I was.
Wichita would have had a station, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah, they had a station.
When did they first get a station?
I don't know.
I don't know, but it was the only place, only station I think you could get was Wichita. So, but maybe they didn't have enough money, you know.
Or they didn't approve of it.
Or didn't approve of it.
You know.
Well, I went to the church, because I went to Methodist church there, and a long time ago, and all the friends and all the people, and nobody that I ever was, because I had never seen it before. And maybe I just thought it was a fad and I wouldn't pay attention to it. But you know, people did think it was just a fad and kind of a strange thing.
Well, and it was,
and
so
it was not
going to
be
here.
Universal. Yeah, people thought that.
It was so snowy out here, at least that's the unfortunate thing.
Out there at Bercher's, that thing was a couple of cowboys riding through a snowstorm. You know, it's what it was. That's all it was. But even if they look at that thing, you know, I remember being so excited about it. And then I don't know when we got it, but it was a long time after Bercher's. And I think Tom Fox got the first one.
Tom Fox.
I was never in his house. Sort of.
I used to babysit, and they'd go out on Saturday night, and I got to watch TV. I never did get to watch the end of the movies because they came home. But, you know, there used to be a movie.
Well, you might have seen it before I did. I don't know.
Well, let's see. I graduated in 60, so I would have been.
You've been about the same time.
You know, 50.
I don't remember. I guess I should have written it down.
Didn't know you were going to.
I didn't.
I never until I was babysitting.
What time that was when I first saw it. I don't know what year that was.
I thought it was amazing.
But I just know when we lived out there, we got one station or two. Not over two. One would be out most of the time. Like for my kids. And they'd get off the bus and come, you know, in, and then they'd watch some Major Astro. You remember him?
I don't remember. I remember hearing about Major Astro.
Oh, we'll see. They did, and they'd come in and they'd watch that right after school, because you had to let them go through that before you could pry them into doing their chores. But they would watch Major Astro, and then, of course, I think they got more interested because they didn't want to do the chores. And, but
let's see, we're talking about
it. Wasn't very
kids.
Good, even at that. Of course, they thought you didn't have anything to compare it with. It was like great.
Talking about the kids, you were married in 52, and Ames was born in 54, Gary in 57, and Tommy in 59.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about living on the farm and raising kids on the farm. And you mentioned chores just then. And
they had chores, but they certainly didn't.
Did you have chickens?
Like I did.
No.
That was a no.
Well, they said Dean's got asthma. He's allergic to chickens, and I thought, okay, I feel terrible. So we never had a chicken on the place. His mother thought that was horrible. We never had a chicken.
Did you have a garden?
Nope.
Did you work outside the home?
I got my mother's station up there.
What? Did you work outside the home?
Yes, I did. I was at Taylor's most of that time. Taylor and Sons. Well, Tommy was about fourth grade when I went back to work.
When you first got married, you were with Alice
Etling.
Etling and
Beasley.
Beasley Lawyers as a secretary.
Yeah.
And then when you had your baby, you stopped? Is that
I did work at home. You know, people would bring stuff and I would do their work and then I'd pick it up. And so
like bookkeeping?
Typing. A lot of typing was done in those days. And then I think whatever year that would be, that Tommy would be about fourth grade.
Okay, he'd be 10 years old, so Tommy is 69.
I went up there to the Register of Deeds office for Wayne Westfall, remember him? And Wayne said, I'd gone to school with Wayne. Wayne's your enemy. He said, come type these records because we want these records for Edwards County. We're getting, we're afraid we're losing them. So that's when I went back to work. That was the first thing I did, go back to work. So I went back to work and typed all those records for Wayne. And then while I was up there in the Register of Deeds office, there was Don Taylor. That's the way that came about, I guess. So then Don says, why don't you come to work for us? And that's when I started. So about the time Tommy was in the fourth grade, I started working for them. And I worked for them in 15 years. So I'm back in insurance again, but I hadn't planned on it.
Were you, did you find it necessary to work outside the home?
Very necessary.
It wasn't just because you wanted to get out of the home.
Right.
Or you needed the, farm needed the money.
We needed the health insurance. And everything that you needed that you kept to, everything was so expensive.
And by this time, you said he was about 10 years old, so your kids were old enough.
Yeah, that's about what Tony was when I went back to work. Because I remember him driving around, riding around that courthouse. Go home! Well, Tommy was a little hard to handle. Yeah. Well, see, then when I first went to work for Taylor & Sons, Stella Kinnett was up there.
Okay.
And she didn't approve of the way I was raising my kids. But that was okay. Yeah. Stella. She was a good gal. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed working with her. She was very exacting, but, she was really good. She took care of the car insurance, and I took care of everything else, it seemed like. All the property damages. And well, when they got that flood insurance, which was kind of beginning, then they added that to me, too.
And you were basically just a wheat farm.
Yeah.
Growing wheat.
Well,
that's
out
all
there.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the kids went to Northside?
They went various places because in those days they were shuffling children around to wherever they needed more students.
Okay.
And it depended whichever school needed them. Some of my children went several years with the other one because and then Gary's class was that extra big class. They hired an extra teacher for them.
I guess I should have asked, we learned that you were born at home. How about your children?
They were all born in Edwards County Hospital.
Over on 5th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very busy hospital.
Was it?
And when Gary's class came along, it was really busy. They didn't have rooms, hardly. You know, when I got in there, I was so lucky because I had a room. Because there was a whole lot of people waiting for babies that were out in the hall. That hospital was well overused, very much overused. They needed a new one, all right, when they did get the new one, because they'd worn that one out. Just like that. I mean, double use on everything. And the year that, I just remember that, and boy, I'll tell you, they were getting them out, in and out, fast for that day because, they just didn't have enough, beds.
So, do you know how many students were in your kids' classes, about?
Well, Jim's always said his was almost as big as Gary's, and
you
Jim had
70.
80.
80 kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gary's was at least 80, mm-hmm. I think. And then Jim's always said, you guys never hired a teacher for us, but we were almost as big, and they just didn't do it for us. They did it for Gary's. Well, I know they hired the extra teacher for Gary's, but actually that was almost like an extra class of girls because it was two-thirds girls. And it was almost like there was an extra, it was weird that year.
opposite
looking for war, I guess. War, they say they have boys. And in that year, there was a normal amount of boys, but they had twice as many girls, and so therefore they were very crowded, and they hired an extra teacher, I think, all the time you went to school.
Yeah, I know there were big classes.
Mm-hmm.
There were several years of big classes.
Oh, then Tom's wasn't. Well, of course, Tom's looked small alongside the others, but there was a tall little class, but I guess that even like that, it was a heck of a lot bigger than what they've had for so many years. Mm-hmm. What is the average class right now?
Maybe
small.
30 or 30
something.
30 would be a big one.
I graduated, there was 40, and 40 was the average.
Mm-hmm.
So and then it went up again when your children were there.
But now it's probably around 30 or less, maybe. I think 30 or 32 might be a big one.
Yeah, I was thinking the whole school, like when I went there, I imagine 300 for the whole school, for the whole high school. Something like that.
And that was junior high in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the consolidation, when we consolidated with Overly, my boys were junior high.
Do you remember anything about that time and the feelings?
You know, I don't think that it was bad at all. I don't remember any bad feelings, or, you know, there might have been, but I don't remember them, because it seemed to me like it went off pretty well. You know, you after you get over the first initial shock that there's consolidation, you know, you thought that you'd see that, but...
Maybe, perhaps, somewhat because they kept an elementary school there.
Well,
yeah, that would solve.
Well, and their school was practically new. Their school was a nice new building compared to ours. See, they had the newer building, but they didn't have the chip room. And then all the busing. Of course, that was kind of, the busing was kind of a bad deal. But I can't really think that that consolidation had much bad feeling that I can remember of. And I might not be remembering it.
Well, I don't remember very much about it, but... you know,
we're hearing that from a lot of people, that they don't remember
any bad feelings about it.
There probably was some, but it was low-key.
Low-key, right, because I think they tried very hard, both sides, to accommodate each other, and so therefore there wasn't any antagonism.
And it was a necessity, and everybody sort of realized that.
Definitely, you know, there was no way they could keep going. Like when I was in the 50s, when I was in school, sure, Overly High School, lots of people went there. You know, you at that time, you would have never thought we would ever consolidate.
A little rivalry then.
Well, there was, you know, they had their everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
what other changes did you see in the 50s and 60s due to a decreasing population, even though we just talked about your children's classes were higher, but we had the consolidations in schools. Did you see changes in the churches or the business community? Or
I didn't remember church is changing so much. It seems like they're about the same, but I think maybe we've been fortunate to have kept it the same, and maybe not all places have. I mean, as far as the church is concerned, it seems to me, you know, we've got our minister.
But your congregation isn't as big, though.
Oh, no. No. Much. It's much. Sometimes you look around and wonder, where do the people go? They're not there. And a lot of them are gone. It's a bad thing.
We talked about, I think we did, about how busy it was downtown and stuff when you were a child.
Oh, yes.
And then as you got up into towards 1970, was that starting to decrease yet, or is that coming after when we start using car dealerships?
I think the 70s might start pretty good. The decline, you might say, you know, the dealership there was pretty bad. There was, when you don't have it.
Did you notice, you know, you worked for Taylor's, did you notice changes in their business during that 15 years you worked?
Well, yeah. See, they were a pioneer company, you might say. See, Don's grandfather, or great-grandfather, I guess it'd be great grandfather started that in the very beginning. You know, so a lot of people, I guess maybe, you know, they stayed in business, kind of old reputation for years or something, in a way, where like a new business might have had more trouble coming in here and starting up, but they've been here for so long. And then, of course, I felt kind of at home there because, like, my dad had worked for the Taylor family.
I guess
the one that was in there a lot was Ed. That's that's Don's dad, or not Don, but Ted's dad was Ed, and that's who my dad.
Maybe we should say for the tape, what did Taylor and Sons, was it called at that time, do?
Insurance, abstracting. They had only abstracting for many years. It was all theirs.
Did they do real estate too, or not at that time?
Well, they didn't do it, but they just ended up in it, kind of, you know. The abstracting part of it drug it in, probably, you know, because people were in there, and that's where See, my dad found out about the farm there because worked for them, and they said, oh, there's a good deal coming out, and it was a very good deal for my dad. And, well, yeah, I think about it about everything.
Well, I'm going to check our little thing here.
Except my register of deeds.
Oh,
her register of deeds. Woo! Oh. Treasures! I was Edwards County Treasurer. That was kind of the highlight when, you know, in my later years.
Mm-hmm.
In 84.
How many years were you?
I was in four terms, 16 years. So I appreciated it very much, being in there. Had a lot of problems, but then what doesn't? You know, it was kind of exciting. I never would have thought I would run for anything. But I think I would encourage anybody that thinks that they might never run, analyze it. Maybe you'll be happier running than you think. And maybe we need people that don't want to run. So.
Now, did you have computers when you were, or were they just coming in?
Yeah, they were really coming in. They were really starting. Really getting, you know.
How did you adjust to the computers?
Well, I adjusted to what I had to do for my office. But it was frustrating. I was purchasing agent, of course, being a trainer. And so, therefore, there was all these people eager to earn money at these computer companies, and they would be in, and I want to sell you a computer. Well, yeah, okay. Fine. Computers are great. We use this. It's good. But why can't it last longer than 5 minutes? See, that's what always boggled my mind. In 5 minutes, I'll come in, I'll sell you something else. And I thought, no, you're not. And so, therefore, I didn't buy some of the programs I could have. I had small distributions, things that didn't at that time amount to much, and maybe they amount to a little bit more now. But ones that I could go ahead and do by hand because we're such a small county. Compared to all this, and they would come in there and they would try to sell me a program that would do that for me for a whole lot of money. Why? I wouldn't do it because I was too tight. I'd say, no, save the county money. You know, it's a small distribution. Now, I could see with the taxes, property taxes, oh, you needed it, and you needed it bad, and that was a godsend. Mm-hmm. But some of those little distributions, sales tax and some of those other things at that time, but didn't need all that, you know. And so I felt a little bit browbeaten that I stood up because I didn't buy anything I didn't think Edwards County needed.
Well, that's good.
You know.
Yep.
Well, of course they wanted to sell it.
Sure. What year did you become treasurer?
84.
And you were there till?
October 1, because treasurers go out at different times. They go out in October.
Uh-huh. Did you see changes in the county, the revenue or anything during that time?
Oh, yeah.
What was happening in that, and this is after our time? What's happening?
When now? I would invest, it was so good in the early years. You know, everybody was trying to force you to take 5-6%, maybe to get really good six and some fives. And boy, I'll tell you, I even got, you know, few really good deals because I let them bid everything was bid. To me, that was a fair way. If you want it, bid on it, and I will, you know, analyze exactly what you're bidding on, and the one that's got the highest bid wins it. That's the way I did the whole thing. I was in there every time so that I could make the maximum amount of money for the county that could be made. Because if it's all, because you had to deal with these people, that you had the ones that were okay that you had to deal with. The, I don't know what the word is, that qualified, you know, the ones that, the banks, all the banks, and at that time savings and loans. Of course, then they went out. But those are the ones that you're qualified to let you bid on. Okay. Each one of those are bid. This is what it is. I'm going to take the one that's going to make the most money. Okay. But you also had to watch that you never got anything that wasn't FDIC insured. Mm-hmm. so that you didn't lose a penny for the county. That was my theory. You don't lose a penny for the county, and you make the maximum amount. And it was kind of an interesting game to me.
And so what happened by 2001?
Well, by then they weren't offering me anything. Well, I thought it was about time. I was 70 years old. I thought it was about time I got out of there. You know, I'd been in there for 16 years anyway. So,
and I think
that was right after 9/11. You know, 9/11 was in September,
right.
And I retired in October because that's when the treasurers take office, is in October. It isn't very obvious sometimes. They try to put it into January, but it's not. And they do that on purpose because they don't want the clerks and the treasurers to be both new exactly at the same time. And that way they're staggered. And that's the reason. A lot of people say, why don't we just get those darn treasurers over there first of the year and be done with it? Well, it's got a reason, and that's its
reason.
Because there's a lot of things going on up there, and it's not good for you to have both of them new at the same time. So that was the reason they had it, and that's why, and I guess they still go out in October.
And I think I cut you off earlier. You went to work there because after your husband had passed away?
Yes.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
What year did he pass away?
In 84.
In 84.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have the...
And I run in 84. He died in June, and it was too late to get into the primaries. So then I run in the general. That was a really mixed up political year, I'll tell you. It had a lot of problems. And one of them was, you know, Gerald, what was his name from Lewis?
Gerald Olson.
Olson had run, in the primaries. I guess he was a Democrat, I don't know. Anyway, whatever he was, he had won it. And then he come up to the treasurer's office, and Bill Williamson was the treasurer. And did you know Bill Williamson? He showed him the ropes. Commissioners were meeting. There was a lot going on. Pretty exciting. And he showed it to Gerald, and I think that's when Gerald decided he didn't want it. It was too much of a, I don't know, he didn't want it. But here he actually won it. But Bill showed him what was going on when he withdrew. So then they had nobody. So then they said, well, Maribel, why don't you try that? I thought, well, maybe I will. You know, I need a lot of those things, like money, and, you know, insurance and a few other things. Need it very badly. I think I will. They said, go ahead, it's too late for the primaries. We'll put you in the general and, Central Committee, the Republican Central Committee will be pleased to have you be our candidate. Okay. And there won't be any other candidate. That's what they said. And then Norman became the Democratic candidate. I had an opposition after all. So, but I was very happy. Yeah, don't always believe everything they say. Because there was, you know. And Bill had decided not to run because I was running. He said, no, I think he was going to run until he found out I was going to run. So he didn't run. So I was, you know, always surprised because I thought. They came in the office. I remember sitting back in the back part of Taylor's listening to it. They came in there. I think it was Buzz. Maybe it's Buzz Snowblin or somebody else came in. They started talking to whoever was in the front. They said, Gerald just withdrew. What are we going to do now? I think it was Buzz Snowblin, yeah.
That sounds like
that. And I was sitting in the back office, and I was hearing all this, and I thought, well, okay, why not? And I decided to run.
Well, you did well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You know, you wouldn't have been elected for 16
years.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So.
It's quite an experience for me. It's kind of highlighting when I lied because I didn't think I would go into that. But that's like I tell anybody, you know, if you think you don't want to run, think it over. Maybe you should run.
Mm-hmm. Well, all your business training that you got,
yeah,
you used that really all your life, because said you were doing bookkeeping and stuff for people out even out on the farm. So you used that.
Well, when we were in town, before we moved to the farm, see, we lived in town for a while.
Okay.
And then when his dad died, that's when we moved to the farm. Yeah.
But you used it.
When did you move back into town?
Ooh, let's see. When we built that house in 76. See, we didn't move back into town until 76. Yeah, we were out there 13 years, I think it was. Seemed like it was long.
Okay, you
had time without water, I know that.
That was the treasury was the highlight of your life. I think your three children were too. Where are your three children?
Well, believe it or not, they're all right around here.
And isn't that unusual?
It is unusual, and I'm very happy about it. Of course, Jim's about five blocks down here, and you know he has his business in Truesdale. You know, Jim's repair, and Gary has been up in Larnington all these years. Has been. I don't know what's going to happen there. It's going to be a lot of changes here. I don't know if you folks know about that or not.
Well, I don't, because I'm not from here.
I only know what you told me several months ago.
Oh, okay.
And that's all I know.
So he's kind of making a lot of changes. And then Tommy lives, you know, just a little bit up north here, and he never married. Anyway, he never told me about it. So... yes, I'm very happy. Tommy has a lot of ground and farms for a lot of people. And so evidently he's doing all right, or they wouldn't be wanting.
So. And you have grandchildren?
Yes, I have. There they are up there. There's the three of their graduation.
Good looking.
Then Lonnie, I consider her my granddaughter also, but she's over here.
Oops, you can't walk too far.
Oh,
you're tethered.
Anyway, yeah. Can we leave that on?
Well, anyway,
and Lonnie...
in the blue?
No, that's Elizabeth.
That's
Gary's daughter.
Okay, which one's Lonnie?
Over there in the picture with the black, in the small picture. She didn't graduate.
Okay.
There. That's Lonnie, yeah. And so I have four. Those four up there. And then six greats.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Elizabeth has a little boy. Gary's got a 2-year-old grandson. And the rest of them are all Jim's.
Okay.
Yeah. Got a lot of pictures.
Yeah. So, looking back overall, how do you think living in Edwards County has affected your life?
Well, I think it's been good. If you think figure everything in, you know. There's been times I've thought about it, and I really do think it's probably been a good place to live. And, of course, you know, you every once in a while you think, if I'd have done something else, but really not. It's been great. And I've got I'm going to show you guys before you leave.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, wait a second on that. Okay, what do you see for the future of Edwards County?
Well,
where do you think we're headed?
I think sometimes with the way that people are working hard to keep it, that maybe we do have a future, but otherwise you'd think that everybody else had buried Edwards County a long time ago. But I don't think, you know, maybe it is going to be that way, do you think?
Well, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's what I think too, to really do. What do you think?
I think we'll be okay.
Then, you know, there's going to be...
I think maybe technology will help us.
Oh, yeah.
And we had another interviewee talk about the fact that we have water.
Yeah.
Maybe not up north.
Not everywhere.
But
you got it.
We have water and we have major highways and that sort of thing that will...
Yeah.
And good and land and water that it will survive.
Yeah.
Maybe different.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
going to
be different
more bigger farms,
we were
farms.
Used to a whole different way of doing things. Mm-hmm. In a way. We're used to... more people, and it can't be done that way anymore. But no, I'm very proud of Edwards County.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add on the tape, or that we?
Well, there was something I was going
to
mention. I don't know if you folks have
sure
remembered in 1975, there was, and Edwards County gave out ceramic plaques to 9 worthy residents or recipients. Do you remember that?
I wasn't here, so.
Oh, no. Okay.
I was raising the kids. I didn't discuss
that. Okay. These plaques were stated that they were given for distinguished leadership and exceptional service in Edwards County. And then I listed them here, but that's that didn't.
Oh, these are the people who got them?
Yeah, my mother was one of them.
Okay. Oh, well.
The one of the 9.
Why don't you go ahead and read the names?
Do you want those names?
Okay. Yeah, and then I may take your piece of paper with me if I can.
Mr. and Mrs. Abner Overlay. Mr. and Mrs. Buford Broadbeck, Mr. and Mrs. Elmer Hahn, Mr. and Mrs. John Newland, Mrs. Minnie Owen, Walter Mathis, Mrs. R. E. Snowblin, Mrs. Maxine Drott, Mr. Joe Akins. That were the 9 that got. I've got Mom's plaque in here. I'll show you.
Why was your mother chosen?
Well, the exceptional leadership and distinguished. She had been in charge of the Cancer Society for many, many years. In Edwards County, many of those years, and I know she told me because she was very proud of it, was the highest in the donations. But the reason she worked so tirelessly on that was because of my brother, you know, that died. And she was very dedicated toward it. And I always presumed that that was the main reason that she was on it. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of those people, I think, they did a lot to help to get our hospital.
Yeah, you recognize the name.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of them did a lot to get the hospital here. You see, that would be in 75, that was before they built that second hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why a lot of those names were. And I thought, well, I'll just write it down.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
You know, the whole story is interesting. Yeah. The loss of your brother and I mean
Well, that is the reason that she was so dedicated to it, because usually she didn't, but she would work on that day and night almost. And it was her way, you know, getting and people, you know, and they followed her very well, because like they were proud. Just about every year, Edwards County was the highest group in the whole bunch for donations to the Cancer Society for those years. And I presume that that's the reason her name is on there. She did a lot
Does the plaque have a date on it?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's look that up, and we could find the newspaper article then and find out. Okay, anything else that you think you want to add?
Look at that there. Oh, another thing. Well, you want me to keep on rambling?
Well, if you want, we want you to record.
Oh, I was just going to mention Chivaries.
Oh,
you people probably never heard of Chivaries.
I have, but we haven't had anybody on a tape mention them.
Oh,
so go ahead.
Chivaries were common for newly married couples. A wheelbarrow with a wife in it would be wheeled down the main street by the husband. And I was. And then the crowd would go to their home to cause any kind of mischief they could think of. Lots of times taking off the labels of the canned goods so you wouldn't know what you had.
Now, when did they do this to you? Because you left from
in
the 52. Church.
Too.
You left from the church for your honeymoon, though. Did they do this when you came back?
When we came back, much later, when they finally caught us. And that's what they would do with a lot of them. When they could find, they catch them, you know, when they come back from the honeymoon.
Yeah,
some of them got kind of rough.
Yeah,
but ours wasn't. We were lucky there. Somebody was starting to take all the labels off, and I stopped them. Don't need any extra work to do. Okay. All right. Let's see. I said the Edwards County Centennial was in 73, but that was the Kinsley one, wasn't it? Later, I got the date. It was Kinsley. Anything. Well, it didn't matter, I guess. You got my grand. I got this part in here. Oh, yeah. After, you know, I kind of explained why my mother was so dedicated to the Cancer Society. And believe me, that came pretty well up there to the top of her list of things she was going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
we've covered everything.
Oh, another thing about the war. World War II. it was kind of ridiculous, but I was so worried that my dad was going to be taken in, I'd never see him again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. And Kinsley had an ice plant at one time, didn't he? You remember the old ice?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything.
That was across the street from that, where my dad's station was.
Yes.
And I was not supposed to cross that street.
Well, your parents had
because I was pretty little at the time.
And your parents had lost one child, so they were probably pretty
right,
protected.
You're right there. That's probably mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. it was not so if I dare do that. Because I guess I'd hang around that station every once in a while, you know, mm-hmm. with my dad.
Sure.
And remember climbing those old-fashioned gas pumps. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Thank you. There
you go. You did a good job?
Well, I hope.
Yeah, oh, you did a good job.
Oh.
Oh, yes, excellent.
Oh, thank you. I really, he really got kind of excited about it. Well, this be a very interesting thing. I've enjoyed reading them all the time, you know. Yeah. I think all these things came out of various times. I guess I told you all three of my sons went to the auto technical school over there in Dodge.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Yeah. Because those teachers said, another one! All three of them! He said, I hope this... They said, Tommy said, I'm the last. I'm the last!
Okay. When was Dodge City Community College started? That's an interesting question.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know
how long
St.
Mary's would have been there, too, for college.
St. Mary's has been there for a long, long time. But, and the, oh. And the, did you come?
I bet that's more recent, isn't it? Like, I'm going to guess the 60s, but I'm not, you know, have no idea.
I don't know, Jim.
I'll find that up. That would be an interesting thing to know, that when education got a little closer.
Like, there was Pratt, I think, and Dodge City Community College when we graduated. But they weren't encouraged. You weren't encouraged to go to the junior college because you wouldn't get a good education.
I know that college thing. See, that just kind of gets me. Helen went to KU and Bernard went to K-State.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought about that day and night. You
they
know.
Still fought about it.
And they still fight about it.
Okay, well, I think this is probably done. Am I right? Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah, take that out.
Okay. Doop. See if I can. Yeah,
oh, that's weird.